CheersCast is part of the Fire and Water Network.
Frederick is nearly a year old and has yet to speak his first word. Since we were both so concerned, we decided to have our little man evaluated by a colleague who specializes in child development.
Huh, what'd he say?
Confirmed our worst fears. Frederick is average.
Ooh. Goodness.
It's not funny.
Oh, really, Lilith? You didn't expect any sympathy here in Mayberry, did you?
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to CheersCast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and with me again from Back to the Bins and other shows on the Two True Freaks podcast network, please welcome back Paul Spataro. What's up, Paul?
Not much. Thanks for having me on again. I always enjoy doing this show. And, you know, you as you already know, Cheers is definitely on my list of top shows of all time. And, you know, it's always good when I have a reason to watch an episode.
That's why I love having you back. And listeners, Paul and I have already been talking for an hour and 15 minutes because we just recorded an episode of his show, which by the time this one comes out may have already dropped on the Back to the Bins, so you can check that one out soon. But for now, we are talking about Season 9, Episode 7, Breaking In is Hard to Do. This one written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, directed by Andy Ackerman. The original air date was Thursday, November 1st, 1990. Everyone at Cheers is bummed out. I mean, it is a bar after all, but particularly, Norm is upset because the city is installing parking meters on the street and he has to get up to pay the meter every 2 hours, which is really cutting into his drinking time. Rebecca is upset that Robin is still in prison and she can't draft a sexy love letter to help him pass the time. And Frasier and Lilith are upset that their little Frederick has yet to speak his first word. Rebecca goes to Carla for advice, writing a smut-o-gram, as she calls it, but they decide what Robin and Rebecca really need is a conjugal visit. They go to the prison, where Rebecca sneaks Robin to a secluded area during a birthday barbecue picnic, because, you know, prison. But Robin rejects her, telling her that he's up for early parole and can't risk it by sleeping with her. Frasier and Lilith argue over which of them should stay home to parent the baby. Lilith tries at first, but things get messy. So Frasier takes over. Of course, Frasier is only good at parenting Freddy when he lets the boy play at Cheers. Lilith is outraged that Frasier would bring her son to a bar for the whole day. How could that possibly improve his child development? And at that moment, Norm walks in to be greeted by little Freddy Crane's first word, Norm. All right, Paul, you had the good fortune, I will say, to have appeared on the season two episode where we covered one of the best episodes that has arguably the single greatest gag in Cheers, certainly up there, which was a single word, a single line, that being Sinatra. This one might be the second greatest single word name gag in the life of the show. I remember seeing this the first time. I remember being a kid, however, like 9 or something like that, when I watched this. That gag of Norm walking in for the third or fourth time in the episode because of the way they set it up, where he has to keep on going out to feed the meter and then coming back. That repetition, and when he comes in the last time, and just the little kid's voice, and just everything stops. And I was like, that was so, so well done.
See, I think the, you know, going back to the season two episode, the reason that becomes iconic isn't just because he did it. It really, to me, it became iconic when they do it a second time. Yeah. You know, he says Sinatra and then no, you know, it's more powerful, whatever. And he says Sinatra again. And that's, to me, that was like the exclamation point on it. On this one, I vaguely remembered the line when it came up. And I thought the same thing, but I thought it's not going to have that same resonance because it's just, you know, quick and done. Mm-hmm. But they did a really good job because they have they give a little breathing room. The comic timing is there. They give a little breathing room for that to hit. And then Lilith's response, oh, he said mommy. That's that's what gives it the exclamation point and makes it as good a line as it is. It's not the, in both cases, to me, it's not the single word even mm-hmm. though it is.
Right.
It's almost like just the way chaser. It plays out. Yes. Yeah. The chaser, again, it's not the chaser that's the funny part, but the chaser makes the initial thing funnier.
Right. Agreed. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Good way to describe that. I think you're right. And yeah, I talked about this just on the previous episode too, and I've mentioned it often before, like the show as a whole did such a good job in the first couple of seasons with Norm's entrance, with Norm and everybody kind of like, and Diane going, Norm in, and that whole kind of running gag of everything that he did when he kind of walked in, his jokes. And they set that up for so long, they seeded those, that by midway through the show, there was enough payoff where you could make jokes about that weren't Norm's entrance, but you could make kind of almost meta type of jokes, like when Sam is bartending down in Cancun or Mexico or somewhere like that, yes. And a big guy walks in and is, Don't see us, muchachos, and they're like, Pepe!
kind of yeah, I love thing. That.
There's the one when Norm is the... He's got his paint crew working for him, and he pretends to be their boss, Anton Kreitzer, and he's got this really angry, deep voice or whatever. And the guys at the end, they think he actually is Kreitzer and pretending to be Norm. And he's like, no, really, I'm Norm. And he turns to the whole bar. He's like, good afternoon, everybody. And the whole bar goes, Anton! At this point in the show, that when they're able to make jokes about the Norm entrance, that's not Norm. I think that's just a beautiful kind of reward for the show and for the audience that has just been invested for this many seasons. So I love that part of it.
Like you say, it's almost a reward. The joke is a reward because mm-hmm. if you're not familiar with the show, if this is the first episode you ever watch, it's not going to resonate the same way.
Right, right.
But by this time, the show had been on, you know, this is the ninth season, you know, this was pretty much, you know, a well-oiled machine at this point, and right. they took it over. The thing about this episode in general was the tone is a little different than, and not always, but it's just a little different than what I expect. In a comedy show, a lot of times I expect the humor to be making fun of the situation. Almost. Mm. In this one, it's almost the response to the situation that makes it a little bit more farcical. And I think the cold open on this sets the tone immediately because it's not realistic. It's very, very silly.
It is.
You know, and I mean, if you didn't really hit it in the synopsis, an old umpire comes in and Sam recognizes him and they greet each other. And then eventually it turns into, well, you got that call wrong. And then they turn it into an argument, like in a baseball game.
And he
kicks Sam out of the bar.
Yeah. He kicks Sam. And Sam like throws the popcorn down and he's like kicking it. Like he's kicking dirt on the umpire.
Yeah. It's so unrealistic that it's pure silliness, but it still works. It still made me laugh, especially again, the cap on it when the umpire, after Sam leaves and the umpire says, hey, I was going through a divorce at the time. Maybe it was a ball. I just thought it was, you know, really funny. So, but I think it sets the tone for the episode. I think there's a lot of things that go on in this episode that are just pure, pure silliness and unrealistic in its own way. The fact that like Norm is contemplating selling his car because there's a parking meter, you know, things like that. It's just, you know, it's not realistic, but it makes for a good punchline every once in a while. His response when they ask him about exercise is, well, I get up and walk all the time. The bathroom's not going to come to me, that kind of thing. It's a funny line, not really realistic unless the character of Norm is trying to be funny.
Right.
It's not played that way. It's played as if he's saying it seriously.
Right.
So, and again, it doesn't lose its humor for me. It just takes it more from just being kind of a reflection on silly tropes to a farce.
Right. Yeah, because even with the whole Norm thing, he's like, he has to pay that every 2 hours. And Woody's like, do you want me to remind you when 2 hours is up? He's like, no, I'll figure it out. It's every 87 sips.
Yeah, exactly. As if he's keeping track of his sips.
Right.
I thought the Norm thing and the Frasier Lilla thing were solid. But, I mean, based on the title of the episode, the focus is supposed to be the Rebecca thing. And that's kind of the least of the three, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And I think I've mentioned this at this point almost every episode, but you haven't heard them all. So I'm saying this for your benefit, not necessarily the audience's. But I think the show wanted to keep Robin Colcourt around. That's the reason for this. Well, I should say they needed to keep Robin Colcourt around because the plan was to have Rebecca be pregnant at this point, although they hadn't mentioned it, because the actress Kirstie Alley was pregnant at this point. She ended up having a miscarriage, and it's just kind of by the good fortune of the show, horrible for Kirstie Alley, but the good fortune of the show that they never actually introduced that plot point because it was going to be a mystery. Is Robin the father or is Sam the father? And that's why they needed to keep Robin in the show, even though he's in jail. They really have no reason to keep bringing Robin back. So, yeah, when they do have these plots of her, like the previous episode, there's a whole thing about Robin is on a prison work crew and Sam is teasing Rebecca about it, that her boyfriend's in jail. And it just, the humor didn't come off well. It came off as more cruel on Sam's part. And this one, it's like, okay, she's sneaking. She's trying to write this, you know, sexy letter. It does more for Carla. I thought Carla was a lot funnier in this subplot than Rebecca was. But it's just kind of, I think it was, they needed to maintain the Rebecca and Robin relationship somehow. So they came up with plots like these, and it wasn't the strongest part, but it wasn't bad either. So
no, it wasn't bad. It's just, I thought the other two plot lines were better. Yeah. And funny, had more humor to them. And another one where I felt like it was unrealistic again, it was one of the jokes that I thought fell flat was when Woody tells Sam to be more patient with Rebecca and then freaks out himself because she didn't know what a vodka. But that one, I didn't laugh as much as I could have. I think that could have been reworked to be funnier.
Right. There are a few gags about the white collar prison that Robin is in. And it goes back to like the second episode when Rebecca's visiting him and he's wearing like a sweater. He's got khakis and a dress shirt and everything like that. He's not wearing a jumper. He plays tennis at prison, but he says he only gets 3 hours a week on the court because, you know, prison. And it's like, and then in this one, there's the barbecue that an inmate who happens to be a congressman from Texas is throwing. So there's this birthday party barbecue in the prison yard. But there's also when Woody first delivers the letter to Rebecca, he's like, it smells like cinnamon. And she's like, oh yeah, Robin's in charge of the bakery. He's making sticky buns at the prison bakery. this is not the prison from Oz or other shows.
I thought the best line in the prison one, the one that made me chuckle, was when he says, oh, you know the guys? No, but I've seen them all on TV.
Oh man, I think one of my runners up for the best gag was when she and Carla go there, and Rebecca's kind of like getting nervous now. She's like, I don't know, part of me wants to stay, part of me wants to leave. And Carla's just looking at the sea of prisoners, and she's like, all of me wants to strip down, lay on the grass, and shout fumble. <I was like, laughs>
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, it's a reflection on this series and how good it is that the weakest of the three plots going on has still got some laugh out loud moments to it.
The big part of it, though, that what you mentioned, kind of the main story, is the Fraser and Lilith and taking care of Freddie. And when they come in, they're kind of in this argument, and Fraser's like, look, I warned you this kind of thing might happen when we agreed to have kids. And she goes, no, as I recall, your exact words were, who cares about the next 20 years? Let's get nasty.
That actually had some of the best lines. And, you know, I think we could concede. I'm going to change your format slightly on you. I think we can concede that, the baby saying Norm is the home run of the episode. Yep. And maybe when we could pick for our second place. At least there's some mystery to it.
Yes. Agreed.
Cause I have a line that when it came up, I said to myself, this would be the home run if not for.
Yeah. Anyway, well, the whole thing, because they're like, we just got some really bad news. And Woody's like, you're going to have to pay that meter just like everybody else. And they're like, yes, well, also the bad news. And they mentioned that Freddie is almost a year old and he has yet to say his first word. And it was this part of the story, it was that line that made me think of you as my guest for this episode. Because behind the scenes, like off podcast, when we were recording years ago, I mean, you always were very, very nice about asking me about Reese and his development when he was a baby and when he was old. And I shared with you that my son Reese, he did not speak for a long time. He was very quiet, and his speech was delayed. He was actually getting services, and even gosh, when he was 2 years old, when like during COVID and everything like that, and I had to send him to the school before he was even enrolled just to get speech services from the school there to help him work on that. And he's wearing a mask and I'm not allowed to go in with him because of the COVID restrictions. So it was just a very kind of crazy time. And now he won't shut up. So his vocabulary is crazy high and all these things. But I just remember, I was like, yeah, being a new parent, a first-time parent, and having these expectations for what benchmarks are because of what you've heard. And if your child is surpassing them or just lagging behind, you're like, okay, is this just natural? Or am I doing something wrong? Is this a sign of something worse that could be wrong? So there's just all these things kind of floating in your head. So even though this is the, the sort of impetus for what will be a very funny situation, this is probably the most I've ever related to Frasier and Lilith in the show.
I did think, actually, and it was one of my notes, was this concept. Some of the things in the way it's executed are different, but this concept is probably one of the most realistic things in the episode, because we all as parents have these hopes that our child is going to, turn out to be, a genius and whatever. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of relate it to the story that you told, and I think I gave you this off the recording, but at some point, but not, I don't think we ever discussed it, is, my daughter was also speech delayed because she had inner ear things, mm-hmm. and had, very common surgery where she had to have the tubes put in.
Right.
And she was speech delayed and had to have a speech therapist come over when she was delayed and work with her. And the irony of it all is now she's 1 year away from getting her master's degree in speech pathology, so she's going to be doing that. And it shows you that these things that really concern you and create fears as a parent aren't always realistic as far as our expectations. Now we have to play that a little bit to the farce again, where the cranes are upset because he's average.
The whole bar is like, ooh, that's terrible.
But that had one of the best lines, which would be one of my ones that I would consider, is, well, what do you expect looking for sympathy here in Mayberry?
And they're good because she's like, it's so unfair. Like, two people as brilliant as us, we weren't meant to have an average child. And he's trying to be consoling her, and that Frasier just abruptly is like, it's your fault. He's like, obviously you have an inferior gene pool. And she's like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, I didn't have a grandfather who was a butter and egg man in New Jersey. And her response, this is one of my runners up, but her response is, mother warned me, you would say you loved me, but sooner or later you'd bring that up.
Yeah, that's a great, and then his response to it is great because he totally cows to her, but then has to throw the aside to the crowd of,
my grandfather wasn't even in America at the time. If he was, he wouldn't have been hawking butter and eggs.
so he's totally whipped, but he's still trying to show the guys that he's that he's one of them.
Lilith has this theory that it's actually both of their fault because they're not spending enough time raising their child. They're both really committed to their work, and he's being raised by the housekeeper in their home. It's interesting that she's having this discussion with Frasier while they're both at a bar on their leisure time instead of with their child. Frasier's like, well, I agree with you. And as you know, we rarely agree because I'm a strict Freudian and you're a behavioralist. And he kind of like mentions to Norm, he's like, I don't have to tell you, it does lead for some hot, angry sex in the bedroom. Norm's like, I wish you hadn't told me.
I mean, just the dynamic too. Again, realistic and yet farcical in the way it's presented is their debate as to who should stay home with the baby. They decide, oh, it's best for somebody to stay home. But then, his whole thing about the money and, it there's some realism there,
mm-hmm.
And as a parent, I think most parents can relate to this. And I think we all want to do what's best for our child. We are willing to sacrifice for them. But as a dad, and we'll go to when my kids were small, I did kind of appreciate that the mom of my children, who's no longer my wife, that she stayed home with them. And I got to have the respite of going to work. It's an area of time when actually going to work is a little, it's a little easier. And it's not that working, and it's like a strange dynamic, because it's not that working is easier than raising your children, but it gives you a change of scenery that you don't have when you're with the children 24/7. Right. And I think that's the allure to, I want to keep working and you should stay home. And they play on that a little bit, because then when she does agree to stay home, she's clearly inept at it, and he ends up doing it for a while, and he's equally inept.
Right. Yeah, because the next time we see them, Frasier comes back just for a quick drink before he's leading an obsessive compulsive group. And he's like running like 15 minutes late. He's like, that's really going to drive them crazy.
I loved that line. Yeah. I thought that was great.
But it's like, this is the same day. So Frasier and Lilith were at the bar. Then she went home to take care of it. And he came back to the bar again for another drink before leading this group. And that's when he gets like the whole message that like she, so she called and left multiple messages for Frasier at Cheers. So this is one of those areas where like, okay, it's a sitcom. This is the home base. They need to do all of these things at the bar in order to get the story. But if you applied any scrutiny in any kind of authenticity to this, it's like, these people are clearly alcoholics with a severe problem.
No, absolutely.
But yeah, you can't look at it that way. We kind of glossed over, but like, yeah, there's the scene when Rebecca goes to Carla in the pool room and she's having trouble writing this letter. And how do you think about this? I'm writing you this letter, Robin, while I'm lying naked on the bed. And Carla's like, no. I'm lying naked while stretched out on the kitchen table. And Rebecca's like, oh, that's good. And Carla's like, oh, hey, there's a lot more to me than being a waitress, you know? And then Carla, after they do this whole thing, Carla's like, hey, why don't we just need to go get you? We'll go to prison and actually see Robin, or you can like meet a good guy. And she's worried about embarrassing Robin or getting him in trouble. And Carla's like, well, does it have to be Robin? There's lots of guys there. You might find one you like better.
My favorite line in that exchange, just because it pokes fun at Robin and his lack of manliness in some ways, is, well, juice burns his ulcers. You can't even mention it.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, showing his delicateness. And I think that plays in with the fact that he's doing well in prison despite that.
Right.
You know, so it shows how much of a country club it really is.
When Frasier comes in now with Freddie, brings him to the bar. He's like, yeah, he had to get away. So he's brought them there. He's like, has he said his first word yet? So again, they're reminding us again of that. He hands Sammy a bottle and he's like, can you warm this up for me? And then Freddie starts to cry. He's like, you saw me hand the bottle, Sam, you'll get it. You'll like it. And he kind of like shouts and everybody's just kind of looking at like Frasier, you under a little stress. And he's like, and he just kind of looks at Freddie. He's like, and it'll be yum, 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 yum. And that was one of those lines that I used that before, like making food or something, or talking to Reese or even to Angie. I'm just doing, it'll be yum, 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 yum.
And it's, again, exaggerated for the humor, but there's some element of realism to that too, where, you know, you're with your child who is incapable of speaking and incapable of telling you what they're thinking, and they're getting fussy and you're getting frustrated.
Yeah.
And then you have to fight the urge to be frustrated because, you know, it's a baby and you have to say to yourself, I always used my method of dealing with that was when my son was first home from the hospital and I would, if I like was losing my patience for whatever reason, I focused on the fact that, you know what, when he goes to sleep, we put him in a onesie with little lambs on it. How can I get mad at that? And that used to keep me from ever being like Frasier was as he was walking with him. So, you know, there's still touching on some realistic things, even though they bring it to a farcical level. So I like that. One of the best exchanges, not best, but one of my favorite exchanges there was when they talked about the influence of a diary, people who keep a diary, and then
it's Norm like, says to Cliff,
you keep a diary? No, I keep a journal.
Yeah, because Frasier is like, he's like, he has newfound respect for, you know, people who stay at home with their child and raise them like single parents. He's like, but also if I had to do this for any long length of time, you'd hear stories about me in a tower with a rifle or something like that. He's going to become a crazy sniper. But and that's when Cliff kind of punches in. He's like, it's kind of a rule that your psycho killers don't have families. He's like, nah, they're loners. They might have jobs. They're good to their mothers. But by and large, they sit all day alone in the dark, writing their depraved thoughts in a diary. And that's when everyone's just kind of looking at him. Norm's like, you keep a diary, don't you, Cliff? I keep a journal. A journal.
I thought that was a good exchange. And then the other exchange with Cliff, because he's very minor in this.
Yeah,
but, the comment about the irony that Cliff can speak and Freddie can't.
Yeah, Cliff is playing with one of Freddie's toys. Like, will you give the baby a chance to play with that? He's like, if he wants it, he can ask me himself. when after, you know, Rebecca, you know, tries to get with Robin, and he rejects her because he has a chance for parole. They come back to the bar. They're both very frustrated. She's like, she got nothing. And Carla's like, well, I got 15 dates. Unfortunately, none of them start for 2 years. And she also put some ribs in Rebecca's purse as a take home. She's like, there's barbecue sauce in your change purse.
Again, unrealistic, but funny.
Yeah. And then Fraser, he's challenging them to darts or something like that. And he has to carry Freddie with him. So they go into the back room. So then they're not in the bar right away when Lilith comes in alone. And she's like, would it be perpetuating a stereotype to actually, if I had to talk to somebody about something, to actually seek out a bartender? And he's like, well, that depends. And she's like, on what you just said. And she says she feels like a failure as a mother because she wasn't able to take care of Freddie, and Fraser is a better influence. She's like, that makes me feel like a failure as a woman. And she asks Sam, she's like, do you make a drink for failures here? He goes, yeah, hang on a second. Phil, what are you drinking? A Manhattan. Like Manhattan. Another one of those great gags. Yeah, I love that little bit to Phil there. Phil, since at this point, the actor who played Al has passed on. And so the character is there. But Phil, who's played by Rhea Perlman's dad, he kind of becomes that new character. And they give him some of those good one lines that are great. And Sam, you know, he tells everybody, he's like, he imagines that Lilith is a great mom. But she takes no comfort in that coming from Sam, who she calls a perennial Peter Pan with no children or obligation. But she's just bitter that Fraser is doing a better job with him, and he's clearly a better influence. And at that point, Fraser comes back from the hallway with the rest of the gang, carrying Freddie. He's like, guess what? Freddie beat Cliff at darts. And Lilith is outraged. She marches across the bar to challenge him. And he's like, look, we just got here a few minutes ago. She's like, you're lying. He goes, well, yes, I am. And they just have this whole argument. He's like, I thought this place had a lot of value. She's like, value? What can he possibly learn here? Like, he'll never learn to speak in this body house or something. And that's when Norm walks in. He's the third or fourth time this episode. And Freddie's the only one who goes, Norm. And everybody just kind of stops and looks. And like, even Norm is stunned by it. He's like, did I just hear what I think I heard? And then, yeah, the button is Lilith with lights, hearts in her eyes, just looking adoringly at her son, going, he said, mommy. Yeah, and Fraser smiles because he's like, whew, I actually
did. Yeah, he dodged that bullet.
Yeah. We skipped over, but I did mention like the teaser with the umpire, Doug Aducci. It was one of the few teasers that really has like Sam, like spotlight is Sam is the main part of the teaser, because usually the teasers focus on the supporting characters because Sam is often the lead, but Sam didn't really do much this episode. So it was good that they kind of gave him the teaser to balance that out.
Yeah. He really did have very little in this, but it reflects the ensemble nature of the show. And sometimes, you know, we all know Sam is the lead of the ensemble,
right.
but every once in a while, when they focus on somebody else, it's usually to the, to the advantage of the show, because it just highlights what a quality cast this was.
Right. Sam gets one good moment when they're asking Rebecca to total up those receipts, but she's kind of thinking about like how to write this letter to Robin. And he's like, how do you expect to get any work done if all you think about is sex? And she goes, I don't know, Sam, how do you do it? And he stops for a minute. He's like, I'm a boy. It's my job.
That's the kind of line, you know, we talk about some farcical lines and all that. That's the kind of line, the kind of comeback that you would expect in real life.
Right.
If he said that to her, and that's, you know, that's the smart ass comeback, and it's very apropos.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing on my notes that we haven't hit on is I just made a note of the, you know, Rebecca a little over the top with the, what about my needs? But there is, again, an element of reality that they're both focused on what they want, but it's a little over the top that she doesn't understand why he doesn't want to get, you know, why he wants parole.
Right. And she's like, because he's like, we can't do this here. And she's like, it's okay. Nobody will see. Carla's standing guard. And it cuts to Carla sitting on a picnic table, fanning herself as 14 prison inmates are surrounding her, like laughing at her jokes or something. For Norm's tab, he had 5 beers this episode because he had to keep on going up and leaving and coming back for more. That brings him up to 864 beers so far this season. For the employee of the week, this one kind of surprised me, but it ended up being one of those situations where Fraser and Lilith split the votes for me. Like, I couldn't decide between the two of them. They were both equally good. So I ended up giving it to Carla. I just thought, like, it was a smaller part, but everything she did, just I thought she was fantastic in this one. So,
well, I'm a little bit more down the middle on that one, because I also thought Frasier and Lilith's story was the best part of the show. And ultimately, I thought Frasier carried a little bit more of the weight, so I gave it to him.
Yeah.
And he had some excellent lines.
Right. For the home run, obviously, we mentioned Freddie saying Norm is the best one. What was your runner up or some of them?
And the ones I had to choose from, I mentioned pretty much all the others. And the one that I landed on as my runner up was when Frasier is trying to justify bringing Freddie into the bar. And then you turn around and Norm is looking at him and says, "Oh, look at Freddie with the cigar. He looks like just like Baby Herman." That cracked me up. And you get the, you know, the combined with the image of Freddie sitting there with a cigar in his hand.
Right. And Frasier's looking to Sam. He's like, "If Lilith calls, we're not here."
Yeah. After he just finished arguing why it was okay for him to have. Right. And it doesn't matter if Lilith knows.
I think my first runner-up is the gag. It's like, "Do you make a drink for losers?" "Yeah, Phil, what are you drinking?" "A Manhattan." I think Carla's line about the fumble was really good. She like stripped down naked, lie in the grass, and shout fumble. And then the whole butter and eggs thing with Lilith standing up going, "My mother warned me, you'd say you loved me, and then sooner or later you'd bring that up."
It's just chock full of good lines.
Yeah, it was a fun episode. Paul, thank you very much for being on this episode again. Thank you for coming back to Cheerscast. Where else can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
You can find me in two shows. There's Back to the Bins, where we review old comics, and we just recorded an episode with Ryan, so you can find him there, at least on that occasion. And then Is It Jaws, where we do movie reviews, and we put them up against what we call the Jaws scale. It's old movies, new movies, anything that comes to mind, we're covering virtually anything.
Very cool, very cool. Well, until I have you back on the show, thanks again, and thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FWPodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
I didn't give my son to you so you could run off and spend the day in a bawdy house.
Yes, well, my little chopped salad. I mean, we just got here, 10 minutes ago?
You're lying.
Well, yes, I'm lying, but I thought that Frederick might enjoy himself.
Enjoy himself in a bar? He's 11 months old. What kind of values can he learn here?
Well, I thought the place had a lot to offer.
Oh, please. He'll never learn to speak in this environment.
Afternoon, everybody.
He said, "Mommy."